So let me give a brief, very high-level overview of TruLinux. It's a large software framework, and the focus for this software framework is to solve problems faced by large-scale, multi-physics engineering and scientific applications. And within that, our going one more step further, our focus is on large-scale simulations on HPC architectures that are of interest to our DOE. So the TruLinux as a project has been there for about 20 plus years, so it is not new. We've been fortunate to have funding from different sources within DOE.
Hi, this is where we explore the efforts of the U.S. Department of Energy's DOE's Exascale Computing Project, ECP, from the development challenges and achievements to the ultimate expected impact of exascale computing on society. In this episode, we take a look at TruLinux, a collection of reusable scientific software packages with a long-standing history of supporting multiphysics and engineering applications. Within ECP, TruLinux is valuable to DOE's Advanced Scientific Computing Research, OSCR program, the Office of Science, and the National Nuclear Security Administration's NNSA's Advanced Technology Development and Mitigation, ATDM, subprogram. For example, TruLinux recently helped two NNSA ATDM applications reach an important milestone. TruLinux is essential to ECP's ExoWind wind farm simulation project and is part of several other ECP projects. In the software technology research focus area, a new project called SAKE, Solvers and Kernels for Exascale, focuses on TruLinux. To discuss the TruLinux efforts within ECP, we have Siva Rajamanikam of Sandia National Laboratories. Our topics: a general summary of TruLinux, a little bit about its capabilities, its use in scientific and engineering applications, the aspect of portable parallel execution, TruLinux structure, some project successes, and more. Exascale computing is the next leap forward in computing. It will provide the capability to tackle challenges in scientific discovery and national security at levels of complexity and performance that previously were out of reach. DOE's ECP is delivering a capable and sustainable exascale computing ecosystem to open new pathways of discovery and provide breakthrough solutions. I'm your host, Scott Gibson, and this is Let's Talk Exascale. We welcome Siva Rajamanikam from Sandia National Laboratories.
Hey, Scott. Thank you for having me in this podcast. Glad to be here.
Okay, Siva, let's start with some very high-level information about TruLinux for those who aren't very familiar with the project or don't know anything about it at all.
So let me give a brief, very high-level overview of TruLinux. It's a large software framework. And the focus for this software framework is to solve problems faced by large-scale, multi-physics engineering and scientific applications. And within that, our going one more step further, our focus is on large-scale simulations on HPC architectures that are of interest to our DOE. So the TruLinux as a project has been there for about 20-plus years, so it is not new. We've been fortunate to have funding from different sources within DOE. I work at Sandia, so we have funding from NNSA that has funded TruLinux for a long time in the ASC program. OSCR and SIDAC programs have contributed to TruLinux development, and the Sandia LDRD program has also contributed to TruLinux development. So this is a software framework that has been developed for the last 20 years with funding from different sources, but the functionality itself has been developed with the goal of helping our typical multiphysics engineering codes, scientific applications in mind, and helping them achieve their mission goals, science goals. So the software is there in GitHub. Anyone can go get it. It is completely open source. And the purpose of this podcast is to talk about what we are doing in the ECP project itself. Hopefully that helps to give a broad overview.
Yeah, that's great. That's very helpful. So with that overview, let's move to some high-level details. Will you share with us about the capabilities of TruLinux?
Of course. I can describe the capabilities of TruLinux in a very high level, saying the first thing that you would need if you want to run on a large parallel computer, you want to solve a linear system, then you would need what you call a distributed linear algebra. So we have what we call data services capabilities that provides ability to create matrices or vectors on many different compute nodes on a large supercomputer. And then the next thing you would like to typically do, is to solve the linear system. You solve the equation that you want to solve. Trellinos provides linear solvers as a product for it. And then there is nonlinear solvers, discretization for mesh, meshing capabilities. And in, when you run on these parallel systems, you also have several load balancing issues. So we have tools for better load balancing. And we have different kinds of solvers that are adopted for different applications. For example, you would not use the same solvers for a climate simulation and circuit simulation. You would have different solvers. So Trellinos itself has different solver capabilities. So it is a collection of the data services or linear algebra data structures that are for a parallel computer, linear solvers, nonlinear solvers, optimization libraries, load balancing capabilities. So we have a number of such capabilities to help our applications. Trellinos is all of these put together. It's a collection of all of these.
How is Trellinos used to help scientific and engineering applications?
As you can see, when you're around for 20 years, you have many examples that you can provide. But I'll give you a few examples, the recent examples related to the ECP project. Within Exascale Computing Project, Trellinos has uses both on the Oscar Office of Science ECP side of things, and Trellinos also gets used in the NNSA's ATDM aspects of things. So let me give a very recent example. There are two NNSA ATDM applications, Spark and Empire. They were going after what you call an L1 milestone, similar to our KPP requirements in the ECP side of things. So there, in order to achieve their goals of reaching their KPP goal, what they Trellinos had to be meet certain requirements on how fast our solvers have to be. So we were able to help Empire, which is an electromagnetics code at Sandia, Spark, which is a CFD code. Both of them achieved their milestone goals last December. The next one I would like to point out is Exavent. This is an ECP application itself, and the Trellinos is an integral part of Exavent along with other solvers. And so whatever Exavent requirements there are, say when they want to run it on Summit or Sierra, or when they want to run it on the upcoming machines, Frontier and Aurora, then Trellinos has to adapt and help them achieve their KPP goals. We've been able to help them so far, and we hope to help them in the upcoming systems as well. The final example I would give you is climate simulations. For example, if you want to simulate ice sheet problems, multi-grid solvers are very important for solving these problems, and Trellinos has been used heavily for those kind of codes. So these are some examples. There are several other examples you can choose from. I just picked from something off the top of my head.
Okay. Will you discuss Trellinos relative to portable parallel execution?
The ECP project by itself and the exascale architectures that are coming up in the next few months to years essentially has necessitated us to focus on performance portability. But what I mean by that is you have to have code that you can run on. You have to be portable. You should be able to run on the Intel GPUs and AMD GPUs that are coming, and you should be able to run on the NVIDIA GPUs that are already there, and you should be able to achieve good performance on all of them, right? You don't want to sacrifice performance. Our focus has been on performance for a long time. So performance portability has taken a front seat because of these changes, but Trellinos as a whole, for us, performance portability is not completely new. The COCOS ecosystem that you see today, which includes libraries like COCOS Core Library, the programming model, COCOS Kernels Library that gives linear algebra and graph algorithms implementations, is the current incarnation of a long line of research on portable parallel execution. So there are two versions of COCOS before the current version of COCOS, and it's developed very well integrated into Trellinos itself. So the first two versions of COCOS was part of Trellinos, and the third version of COCOS was part of Trellinos when it started. We spun off COCOS by itself because we saw a very important use case that is going beyond Trellinos itself. So COCOS originally was designed to make Trellinos portable. Now, if we've taken COCOS out, it is also helping several applications directly write to COCOS itself. So in some sense, portability is not new to us. We've been working on this for a while, And so the current work is completely dependent on COCOS. Torino's uses COCOS core, the programming model, and COCOS kernels, the linear algebra and graph kernels underneath, to achieve portability on different architectures. And if you're interested in what is happening as of now, we are starting to add support for AMD architectures. We are adding a support for OpenMP Target, where you can support Intel architectures for the upcoming Aurora system. And we are also evaluating new research projects for programming model needs that are beyond what is immediately needed, so that we don't get left behind when the next new architecture comes up.
Let's turn our attention to the structure of Torlinos. It is composed of 50 disparate autonomous packages and has some new interfaces that sit above them to help users. Please describe for us how Torlinos is structured and how it works.
Yeah, so this is very important to the spirit of Torlinos. When we designed originally, and the credit goes to a lot of original developers. I came into Torlinos a lot later. Like I said, it's been around for 20 years. So I've been working on Torlinos only for the past 11 years. So the original design, the credit goes to the original designers who came up with this idea. And Mike Hiru is the lead for all of this. The essential principle of Torlinos is it is a federated group of packages. The packages have a lot of autonomy in how they want to help our scientific and engineering codes. But there is also a common set of guiding principles that you want to follow to be part of Torlinos, right? Like certain amount of documentation, you use the same build system, how you want to, you use the same style of installing into how a user will install your package integrate it into their code, follow the same style as Torlinos. So there is a set of guiding principles that everybody follows, but beyond that set of guiding principles, you also have an autonomy for each package to go and solve the problem that they are trying to solve in the best way that they would like to solve it. They know how to solve it, right? So, and this is very important because we don't want to impose the same set of restrictions or the same set of interfaces for, let us say, a graph algorithms library for load balancing and nonlinear solver that is being developed. So there is a big group of libraries that come together. They all follow a community common guidelines, and they together serve, help our applications, both in the mission space and in the science space. That has been our primary focus for a very long time. And you talked about these new interfaces that are coming, new areas that are coming on the top. And we recognize that sometimes this can become quite daunting because there are like 50 different packages, 50 plus different packages, each doing its own thing. As a user, sometimes you just want to solve a problem. You don't care what algorithm you use. You just want to solve a problem. So what we have done in the recent past, this is including ECP, but this has been going on for some time, is to put a layer on top of these packages, what we call Torlinos products. And there are 5 different product areas. And this has allowed us to bring together packages that have a common theme. All packages still have the same community guidelines and all the things that I talked about. But what this helps is if you have a linear solver product, it has a similar interface. The users don't need to worry about what type of preconditioners and what type of linear solvers, at least in the beginning. Eventually for performance, you care about all of those things. But to make the user experience easier in the beginning, we are bringing together, for example, all the linear solvers into a linear solver product, all the data structures and the distributed data structures, as well as the node level data structures into a data services product. So this, and there are 5 different products like that. And so that we hope that will help the users have a better experience in using Torlinos as well. So those are the 2 levels that we have between about 50 packages and 5 product areas. So the users can choose which level they are comfortable with to interact with Torlinos.
Now that we have a handle on Torlino's background, how it's organized, and what its capabilities are, will you share with us about the project's accomplishments so far within ECP?
So I didn't talk about the ECP aspect of Torlino's as deeply. So let me talk a little bit about that. So Torlino's within ECP is part of several projects. There is some Torlino's funding, say, for example, within a co-design center or within an application itself to do what is needed immediately for that use and what is only applicable to for that co-design center or for an application. But the primary software technology project that focuses on Torlino's is this new project called Sake. It is in the software technologies area. I'm going to talk about the accomplishments of that project. But so you have to be careful in that I'm not talking about Torlino's accomplishments in all of these other projects. So sure. Within Sake, there are three components within Sake. One is focused on COCOS kernels, the linear algebra kernels that we are developing for the new architectures that are coming. Number two is Torlino's itself, the solvers, and moving to and helping Torlino's go to the new Aurora and Frontier architectures. And finally, long-term research on linear solver algorithms, especially Krylov pipeline Krylov solvers. Okay, so let me talk about the first two aspects and the accomplishments there a little bit more. So COCOS kernels, for example, the one thing that we had a big release, software release this year. COCOS as an ecosystem, we released together with COCOS Core. So COCOS kernels had a 3.4 release this year. And the primary thing that the ECP users should care about is now we have a support for AMD and the OpenMP target, AMD HIP backend, and the OpenMP target backend. So you can run on AMD architectures. We have some nice results on this system, Spark at Oak Ridge. And some of these results are shared within ECP in different meetings. And it is also available in a published paper that got published recently. So the support for AMD and the HIP backends is the number one thing that I would point out from the COCOS kernels perspective. The next step is we follow this waterfall model where once COCOS kernels are ready, each node level kernel is ready, we go to the distributed memory linear algebra in Torlino's and we start doing that in the Torlino's aspect. So a good portion of the Torlino's software stack is already running on HIP on the AMD backend, okay, with COCOS core and COCOS kernels underneath as their foundation. So that is something that we are very happy about. So, and these are two software technology focused work that we have done in the recent past. And the next thing that I would point out is that new features that we are adding to COCOS kernels and to Torlino's are to help ECP applications itself, actually. So there are new features that we have added in order to reduce multi-thread setup for applications like Exavent. And there are new features that we have added in order to help these Empire and Spark 2 ATDM applications in order to help them succeed in their L1 milestones. So these are all part of our project goals. In order to help the applications, a new feature has to be developed, and that feature has been delivered in this 3.4 COCOS kernels release, and it has also been integrated into Torlino's. So it's been propagated through our applications as well. So these are some accomplishments that we're really happy about. From the recent past, I can go back one more year and find more, but let me stop there.
I believe those paint a clear picture. Siva, what are the next challenges for Torlino's within ECP?
Oh, interesting question. So within ECP, we are actually very confident of reaching our milestones on AMD and the HIP platforms. If you asked me 2 years earlier, I would have been a little worried. But now, working closely with facilities, a lot of folks who help us from facilities, working closely with vendors and with our application teams that are communicating to us their requirements, we are quite confident in achieving our goals that we have set for ourselves in ECP itself. We are starting to look beyond that, and that is where we see new challenges coming up. Let me point out two things from two different directions. The first one is, we have done all of this work on portability for new architectures. What we are starting to see and starting to think about is what happens if the architecture is heterogeneous and how would Trulynos adopt? How would Quarkos adopt? How would our applications need, how much our applications need to change if the compute node is not only like the GPU, but there is a different kind of hardware, a data flow hardware in that. And that has been our more than one type of hardware, a GPU and the data flow hardware. And that is something that we have been thinking about. And we think that is an important challenge as a community we need to address. And from the perspective of Quarkos kernels and Trulynos, we are starting to think very carefully about it and how software has to be done for this is something that that would be a challenge for the next few years. The second aspect that I would point out is open source itself and how to deliver all the good work that is happening in the community well to our users with a lot less pain than what they have to go through today, right? So this is a very easy way to get Trulynos, get solvers, and use them well from the perspective of the users and from the perspective of the developers, how to develop this with a lot less pain if you want to add a new capability to it. So these are the two things that we think about constantly. New architectures coming along, how would algorithms change for it? How would software change for it is one aspect. The second is delivering that well in an open source environment to our users.
All right, this interview has evolved to a nice place to talk about long-standing impact. What do you think will be the enduring legacy of the ECP Trulynos work?
Okay, this is an interesting question. So let me paraphrase this to say, this is my personal view on Trulynos' legacy. Trulynos is a large project. We have roughly like 50 people who contribute to Trulynos very actively on a weekly basis. And then there are like another 50 people who contribute somewhat less frequently. So it's a large project. And Trulynos has been around a long time before I started getting involved in Trulynos. So with that caveat, let me say what would be the legacy of Trulynos from my point of view with the personal bias. And I'd say two things. One is, what is the best way to help our mission codes and science codes achieve their goals? And we do a lot of work in Trulynos from three different aspects. Trulynos is focused on helping production applications. Okay. Trulynos is also focused on research on new algorithms. And Trulynos is also focused on co-design with hardware vendors, with platform complete system developers, and how to co-design a system and the software together, right? So Trulynos has a role to play in all of these. But eventually, I would say the legacy should, in my point of view, is what is the best way to help our science codes and mission codes achieve their goals? Because we are a foundation library, and their success is basically our success. So all of these other activities that we do eventually feed into that goal. And that is number one to me, number one aspect. The second aspect is, I'm going back to something that I like again, which is the process of developing an open source community developed software. And that would be a legacy of Trulynos in my mind. And because we've been doing this for 21 years, and a lot of processes that came out of Trulynos is being adopted by the community. And that is very nice to see, to bring together this group of people who are all interested in improving science and scientific simulations, how to do that without imposing too many restrictions on them as well, right? And that would be an enduring legacy of Trulynos in my mind. And so those are the two things that I think would be the primary thing or legacy for Trulynos itself.
Okay, Siva, what would you like to say to the technical community about engagement and the open source environment with respect to Trulynos?
Wonderful. This is something that I'm passionate about. Help us by contacting us. Reach out for folks who are listening. If you are application folks, you are looking for new capabilities and you have a difficult problem to solve, that the solvers that you have don't work, reach out to us and go try Trulynos. And the first stop is our GitHub repository. We have a very active group of users and developers with nice engagement in our GitHub issues. We have annual meetings, like what we call user groups, If you can participate in the user group meetings, please do. We have user group meetings both here in the US and somewhat less frequently in the Europe. So if you're in the European side, you could try and attend that. You could use the different repositories developed in ECP, like E4S, XSDK, and collect this collection of software and get Trulinos from there and use it. You can use it from SPAC, of course. So use these, give us feedback, ask us questions, and let us know your challenges and engage with us. The more we talk to each other, we can serve the needs of our applications much better. So looking forward to it. And I'd say thank you for the opportunity for the ECP communications team to invite me here. And this is fun.
Thank you for being with us on the podcast. We really appreciate all the great helpful information.
Okay. Thank you.
So long for now from Let's Talk Exascale.